First, I'd like to tell you what an honor it is to be at the pulpit and share scripture with you tonight. Not something to be taken lightly. It's a privilege, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'd also like to share with you that I feel that several weeks ago, a missionary came through with his family. They sang, did a fine job, and he preached, walked back and forth here on the platform with the Bible open. A very touching message. And the following Sunday, the lesson was on serving the Lord, and the morning worship was on serving the Lord, and the evening was on serving the Lord. Now, the world would call that a coincidence. I'd call it the moving of the Holy Spirit on the hearts of men. And I'm thankful that we have leadership in this church that will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when the heart's touched, to preach it. So I appreciate that as well. I want to publicly thank you, each and every one, for your prayers regarding a place to stay for our daughter and son-in-law and the family. And a lady offered them a small apartment, and they took her up on it. So please continue to pray for them. They're in there. It's further from the hospital and further from their church, but they have a place to stay. Excuse me. So. I'm very pleased about that. And yeah, that's a big stressor that's off us. Please pray for their situation and as they go forward. Okay? Thank you. A few weeks ago, a student in my school, the Bible class, asked if we have not all been called to serve the Lord. And so tonight, we're going to examine the Christian call. But before we do that, we're going to pray. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day you've given us, a beautiful day. We thank you, Father, for the faithful that came back out tonight to hear this poor preacher preach. I pray that you'd take my words, and especially your words, Lord, which are inspired, and that you'd touch hearts and move in the hearts of people, Father, and they would follow through with what your word tells us to do, Lord. Pray that you'd bless each one here in the audience, Lord, those listening at home, and that your name would be honored and glorified. And we thank you and give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. I'm also thankful that we were able to serve in Chile for over 23 years. I believe very strongly, Kathy as well, that missions, since it's out of a local church, is planting a local church. I think there's other areas that are nice, orphanages, they're nice, food banks, they're nice. There's all kinds of things out there. There's all kinds of needs. There's all kinds of necessities. But to me, missions is church planting. Okay, we place the church, so to speak, and have it multiply. So that's my feeling on it. That's my belief. And I also believe regarding what we're studying tonight, the Christian call, I truly believe that there is a specific call to be a missionary. And we're going to examine that later in the message. Now, when I mentioned about the Holy Spirit working in the lives of men, I'm thankful that Brother Keith and Pastor and I are on the same page. Because Brother Keith pretty much covered my third point, and Pastor used some of my verses as well. Now, I had the message done last week, and I kind of fine-tuned it this week. So, you know, I just didn't sit there and copy down and say, hey, now that's a good verse. Maybe I could use that, okay? Well, it was already there. So if you missed Sunday school this morning, you're going to hear it for the first time. If you're here for Sunday school, well, then we're in the repeat time of the season, okay, like television programs. So some of that we're going to examine again. While we're in Chile, we started a New Testament Independent Baptist Church, and I'm thankful to say that church is still going very strong. Amen. They support missionaries in Turkey, Spain, Mexico, and Chile. And that's what we taught them to do, and that's what they're doing. Since we left, the church has expanded the sanctuary 50%, and the congregation by about a third right now. So we praise the Lord for his continuing hand on the ministry there. Now, from that church, we reached out and we started a bunch of other missions. And recently, one of them has been turned into a church, if you will, instead of a mission. They have their own pastor, and so now they're more independent. They're not dependent on the main work like where we started. Plus, the church has also reached out and started two other works. So they're moving forward, and I'm thankful for that. Currently, in this area, besides teaching in the School of the Bible, I have the opportunity to serve with the Gardner Police Department as a bilingual chaplain, and there are ceremonies and all that stuff, but I ride patrol with them with some frequency, and it's not so much for the buzz. There is a lot of that, but it's to get to know the guys. I want to know where they stand spiritually. They look to me as a pastor. They call me a pastor, and it's a privilege to work with them. And there's excitement. I have to agree to that. But as I'm out on patrol with them, we got a coded call, and the coded call means lights, sirens, speed, and get there as soon as you can. And following that, I talked with the officer about how he was raised as a child. Did his parents take him to church? Kind of introduced slowly, like. But over the course of a conversation, I'll end up asking him what his relationship with Jesus Christ is, if he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Well, we'd finished a coded call, and we're just getting into the theme. It's kind of quiet, and guess what? Another coded call. And when you get a coded call, it's, in my part, is hang on, keep quiet, and pray, because he's busy. But when we got to the second coded call, I'm thinking to myself, well, Lord, you know I want to continue this conversation, so that's up to you as time advances tonight. And so we're out in the middle of Route 70. I put my vest on. I don't know if you know or not, but it's a little dangerous out on Route 70. So I'm out there directing traffic and putting out flares, and he brings the subject up again. And I thought, well, if he wants to talk about it here and now, that's fine by me. You know, the Lord's full of surprises, so great. So we did, and he was telling me how he really appreciates how his life has changed since he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I marked that one down too. And I'd say at least 10 out of 12 of the people I've worked with, they can give me the date, the time, the place, and the with who led them to the Lord. And so I appreciate that. And I figure that's the work that I'm doing with them. Amen. And this past Friday, was more difficult. Had an opportunity to use my Spanish for a couple hours. But during the course of the night, I learned that this officer had been saved since he was age 14. So once again, I was pleased with that. But folks, to answer the question of the Christian call, I've got 4 points tonight. First, we've been called by God unto salvation. That's first. We're going to spend a lot of time in Romans tonight. Let's start in chapter 1, Romans 1, verses 6 and 7. And you can stay in Romans. We'll come back and forth to it. The Bible states in verses 6 and 7, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now that's pretty straightforward. Then it says, to all that be in Rome. And if you'll permit me, let's put in a parenthetical statement there and say, or Clayton, or Garner, or Selma, or Smithfield, or Fayetteville, or wherever, all right? Beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, how do we look at it as saints? Someone that's repented of their sin, someone that's asked Christ to come in their heart and be their Savior. Okay? We look at them as the saints, right? So, it says here, among whom are ye, the called of Jesus Christ, called to be saints. And then 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. The desire of the Lord is for all men to be saved. Is that our desire? Or do we get kind of choosy, a little picky? In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 30, the Bible says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." So once again, we have a reference. He called. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, sup with him, and he with me." How would you feel if you went to answer the door at your house? You open the door, instead of a peddler being there, or somebody saying, "Hey, your roof needs a little fixing. We can work against the insurance company, you know, and get you a bundle." I mean, there's a lot of them going around. But suppose you answer the door, and it was the Lord himself. Wouldn't you be awe-stricken? Wouldn't that be a blessing like you couldn't imagine? And yet the Lord is there knocking on the door of people's hearts, saying that if you'll hear my voice and open the door, you know, he promises he's going to come in and he's going to sup with us. And I think that's a real blessing. I really love that verse. It's good to meditate on and just to think that the Lord be willing to knock on my door, be willing to knock on your door, looking forward to come in and supping with you. A part of Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." That again is a blessing. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Remember the verse in Psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Before our salvation, we were walking in darkness. And I don't think that we can really visualize that. You know, you need to kind of shut yourself in a closet where there's no light and realize what total darkness is. And then walk out into a lit room where it's like it's almost like you're looking at the sunshine. Okay? That's how bright it is. I mean, the Lord is our light. Okay? So we've had that much of a change. Right? So if you're saved, then you've been called. That's the first part of a Christian call. You have been called. Unfortunately, there's so many people that say, "No, not me. I'm not interested." We've been back in the States almost 5 years. We were at the grocery store the other day. I went to give the cashier a tract. "Have a good day. Tell him there's a great message in there." No, I don't need that. I think that might be my first rejection in almost 5 years. So there's people out there today that are still not interested. They don't think they need the Lord. But those of us that are saved, we know we've been called. Secondly, we've been called according to his purpose. In 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So he saved us, he called us, but according to his purpose. Have you ever wondered what the Lord's purpose is for you? I definitely think it's something to think about. And not just go through life. We've got to go around and sell with this organization I'm with the police, also civilians and police together. We have this fundraiser selling tickets to Auto Bell. But I got thinking about that. Do you think the Lord's purpose for you in life is to work at a place like Auto Bell and stand outside the garage portion there where the spray of water's coming out and maybe some soap suds, and you just stand there for 30 years and figure, "Well, this is my role in life"? Do you think that's all the Lord has you here for? I would certainly hope not. I would certainly hope that he has something great for you to do for him. What does Colossians 1:16 tell us? We've been created by him and for him. Okay? So looking to, Lord, why am I here? What is your purpose for my life rather than my purpose? Remember a lady in Chile that when we first went to the south of Chile, before things were automated in the post office, walking in the post office there, there's the same lady with a very sad expression on her face, 6 days a week. And she'd sit there, she'd stamp letters, maybe 3,000 letters a day. And I mean, she'd just look at you and stamp a letter. And folks, that was her life, 6 days a week. And that was for years. Do you think that's what the Lord has in mind for you, young people? You know, start asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do for you? So you don't end up in the post office, just stamping letters for 30 years. What a waste. I mean, she got paid for it. Praise the Lord for that. But that's not serving the Lord. Think about it. Going back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, again, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? I would think if you're here tonight, you love God. But notice then what it says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a surprise. There it is again. The Lord's purpose, right? To them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what? The image of his son. Well, is not Christ our example? We should have a goal in life, throughout life, to be more Christ-like. And I'd encourage you to examine how you're doing on that, you know? Romans 12, 2, turn up to Romans 12. We use that verse a lot around here. We're going to start in verse 2, though. Romans 12, 2. We're told, remember in the other verse, we're told to be conformed to whom? The image of Christ, right? Now, what's our instruction here in Romans 12, 2? Be not conformed to what? To the world. Well, now we have some extremes, okay? We're told to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, and also then told to not be conformed to the world. What would the world have you be conformed to? The world. Anyway, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Okay? Now, as we're looking at that part of the verse, renewing of your mind, Pastor used Proverbs 23:7. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's a matter of heart and mind. We're told to renew our mind, okay? And the real you is what you think in your heart. Now, I don't know that. You can sit there and you can look at me tonight and I say, hey, it looks like that person's plugged in. But I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what's in your heart. You do, and the Lord does, right? And folks, the Bible is the inspired word of God. My words are not inspired. Tonight, I'm just connecting the dots. I'm a dot connector, okay? Where we started out in Romans chapter 1. Now we're up to Romans chapter 12, okay? So we've connected some dots. We've looked at some verses. We've looked at what the Lord's told us to do and also what we're not supposed to do, okay? So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what else? Perfect will of God. Did you pick that word up? Now, I've been taught that every word in the Bible is important. I've been taught that the words are of equal importance. Do we agree on that? Amen. Okay. So, why would it not have been adequate to simply say, what is that good and acceptable and will of God? I'm sure you want to live in the will of God, but here is telling you how to live in the perfect will of God. What other kind of will of God is there? There's the permissive will of God. Now, you can do a study on that. Our pastor says, do a word study. There you go. Look into the will of God. Look into the perfect will of God, which we have a reference to in this verse, versus the permissive will of God. What would be an example of the permissive will of God? You becoming stamp lady. You working at the car wash for 45 years, just standing in the breeze of the water and the soap suds. That would be God's permissive will for you, because he would allow you to do that. But it's not necessarily the perfect will of God. So here we have instruction how to have the perfect will of God. Okay? Be not conformed to this world. Then you notice it says, you know, it says prove whether it's good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Okay? And as I said this morning, to help you with your thought life, the renewing of your mind, focus on the cross. Are there a lot of things to focus on in the world? Oh, innumerable. But focus on the cross. As you focus on the cross, it's going to clean up your thoughts. So are you conformed to God, God's purpose and image? And do you really want to live in the perfect will of God? Then choose not to be conformed to this world. Once again, it's your choice. You walk out this door tonight or one of these other doors, it's your choice. What are you going to be conformed to tomorrow? The image of God and his son, or conformed to the world? Once again, it's a matter of choice. Many people, even Christians, want to fit in. They want to be accepted by anyone. So one of the verses used this morning, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, etc. Well, here's the question. Is there evidence of you living a separated life? Think about it. I'm not looking for you to give me a verbal answer tonight or any other night. I want you to talk to the Lord about it. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. How are you doing? Talk to the Lord about it. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You can break that verse up. It's giving you an instruction to be delighted in the Lord. And that'll give you the desires of thine heart. Do you find that your delights are in the Lord and his work? Or are the majority of your delights in the world? You can do a self-examination on that. Now, you're in church tonight, Sunday night. Praise the Lord. It would appear that your delight on Sunday night is to be in church. That's good. How about during the rest of the week? Where is your delight? I had a blessing this past week, Kathy and I. We went down to a missions conference there in Kenley, North Carolina. Pastor sends his greetings to our pastor. And when I walked into this church for the first time ever in my life, I received a blessing. Now, what do you think? Is that nice or is that nice? Cooper Carroll was seated there. Laura Langdon was there. It's like, wow, this is old home week. I feel right at home here. I met Coop's brother, Milton. It feels good to be with brethren in Christ. And what does that show? Does that show a big pat on the back for me because I went with Kathy down to Kenley? No. It shows that, as the example I'm trying to point out tonight, is Coop and Laura's delight that night was not March Madness. They wanted to be seated in church and hear what the preacher had to say. And he gave an excellent message. I was proud of Coop this morning as I was talking to him. He remembered a lot from the message Tuesday night. Now that's good. We compared notes on it. What were you doing Tuesday night? Where was your delight? Thank you. Something to think about. Okay? Now, I'm not here to point fingers or preach at anybody in particular. I didn't sit home and postulate week, days. Let's see. What does Brother David Lee need in his life? I got to make sure I ding all those bells, you know? No. I just put the sermon together, okay? And where it falls, it falls. And all I really want you to do is think about it. I want you to talk to the Lord about it as to where you fit in these verses. Okay? I'm not your judge. Okay? The Lord wants to guide you. The Lord wants to show you what His perfect will is for your life. And it's all part of the Christian call. So we've been called unto salvation. We've been called according to His purpose. We have also been called to be holy. How are we to present ourselves to the world or in the world? Well, here we are in Romans 12. Guess what? We're going to back up one verse. Sure enough, 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, whom? Brethren, the saints, Christian, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, now, I think it was Pastor that touched on that the other day, and he pointed out that your body is more than your physical body. It's your total being. So how are you presenting your total being in the world? It's more than just, are they all in place? No? Yeah, okay, I can present my body to the world. No, how about the inward man? How's that doing? You're going to present that to the world too. Because remember, as you think in your heart, that's what you really are. So, if you get together to rub elbows with Brother Ken, what do you talk about? Well, that's the real you. Presenting ourselves to the world. But that's not the end of Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What else? Holy. Wow. But you notice, after this, there's another part of the verse that's nice. If you do that, you're going to be acceptable to God. Okay? That's what the verse says, right? Uh-oh. How does the verse end? It's your reasonable service. But, Pastor, I'm looking for everybody to give me an attaboy because I came back to church Sunday night. It's your reasonable service. Okay? You're not going to get an attaboy for that. It's just reasonable. When you train up your children, and then they get to a certain age, and you send them out and they go to school, when you send them out the door to go to school, what is your expectation? That they go to school. Is that not reasonable? Well, the Lord's looking to us to do things, and if we do them, it'll be acceptable to Him. And what else? Reasonable service. It's reasonable on our part. So think about that. And then how about that term, holy? 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, Brother Keith, okay, from this morning. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, in the first part there, Peter's talking. Now, who's he talking to? Did you read in verse 1? He's talking to strangers. He's telling strangers to be holy. Well, how about you? You're a child of God. Should he need to tell you to be holy? It should be your reasonable service. It should come automatically. And to help you a little bit of homework here, because it is written, the words of our Lord in Leviticus chapters 11 and 19, you can read through there. Time after time after time, he's telling Israel, I am the Lord your God, be holy as I am holy. Okay? So that's where it came from, and that's where it is written. Okay? It's written in Leviticus chapters 11 and 19. Now, the dictionary defines holy as being dedicated or devoted to the service of God. So, do you know anybody that's holy? How about a man and his wife that started a church and pastored the church for 50 continuous years? Would you say that person was dedicated? Would you say they are devoted to the service of God? Well, that's an example of being holy. So, how are you doing? Remember when we talked about the delights of your heart? I can help you with that. How much time do you spend in prayer? This is all aiming toward to being holy. How much time do you spend in prayer, reading God's word, just talking with him, meditating on some portion of scripture, being in church? Add that, all that up, and compare it to the amount of time you spend on the social media. And compare those numbers. And that's going to show you where the delight of your heart is.
Amen. Right.
Okay? Now, if you're thinking, my wife can attest to this. I'm not a Facebook user. Do I have it? Yes, I have it. But when the service is over tonight, and I'll have you out by 11, I am not going to run, I'm going to go home, but I'm not going to get on social media and say, I got home, my cat was hungry, I fed her, and now she's purring, and post it. You don't give a rip about my cat and whether I fed her or not. So why should you take your time to read postings like that? You know, is that the delight of your heart? Is that where you spend your time? Examine it, okay? Examine it and talk to the Lord about it. And when we're talking about being holy, I want to talk to you, before we get into the last point, I want to talk to you about what does the Bible say about how we're supposed to dress? What one word could you use?
Modesty.
I get a prize there. I don't have any chocolates or anything to pass out, but modesty is the word. Well, think about it. Look in the closet. Look in your daughter's closet and see how you're doing. Is there a distinctive difference between your clothes, your daughter's clothes, and how they dress in the world? If there's no difference, then if you're out presenting your body in the world, how are they to know you're a Christian? If you look like the world, smell like the world, and sound like the world, what are people going to think? Oh, you're a Christian? I had no idea. The Bible talks about modesty. In the Bible, what did they do with nakedness? They covered it up. Okay, well, this is March 18, where someday spring will get here, and after that summer. And what's going to happen, all the people that go east? They're going to be prancing all over the beach. Is that the delight of your heart? Is that conforming to the image of the Son of God? Or is that conforming to the world? No, I don't keep track of where you go. Kathy and I go to the beach. We go to Southport, and we go to someplace south of that I can't remember the name. You know, you'll get there one of these days. Pastor knows what I'm talking about. But we go in October. How much flesh do you think is on the beach in October? Everybody's all wrapped up. But you know what's still there? The beach. You can still get the sand in your toes, between your toes. You can still look at the waves. There's not as many sharks. So if you want to go out in the water some, you can, with a good eye. Folks, it's all a matter of what we do with ourselves. Okay? The Lord gives us instruction after instruction after instruction. But what do we do with it? Last point. I want to talk to you about the call of a missionary. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Once again, familiar portion of Scripture. I have nothing new under the sun to tell you that you haven't heard a number of times before. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Oh, there's that call again, right? "The work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Lucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Does your Bible say something similar to that? I imagine it says the exact same thing. So now I've got another question for you. Where were these two men called out from? Were they called out from an entertainment theme park owned by a beer baron? Were they called out from the ballpark? Or were they called out from a local church during a time of prayer and fasting? Why do we worry about entertaining our youth or our young people with worldly entertainment? Why don't we have them go to a spiritual retreat on an all-day Saturday or even on a whole weekend to draw closer to the Lord? Times of prayer and fasting. In our church down in southern Chile, we were in the lakes region. So that implies there's a lot of lakes and a lot of volcanoes. And there's a lot of snow. And the lake I want to talk to you about was about this location on the lake was like 20, 25 miles from our home and our church. And this lake was the kind of lake, cold, wow. If you swam out so the water was like 8 feet deep or so, you could still count the pebbles on the bottom of the lake. Nice. And yeah, I've been in the lake. Used to baptize people in the 57 degree water of the Pacific Ocean. Used to swim in Maine. And that explains a few things. I understand that. But my youth leader there in our church in Puerto Montt, he was in the Air Force. And the Air Force had a family retreat building right on the coast of that lake, right on the edge of the lake. And so he took the youth there and spent like the whole day with them there. It wasn't like a youth meeting, like, "Hey, come to church and we'll play a bunch of games and I'll read two or three verses in the Bible, and then we'll have a 75-foot-long hot dog, and then we'll go home." He spent the whole time there, the entire time, studying the Bible, praying, talking one with another, things like that. It wasn't entertainment. Okay? The local church is not called unto entertainment. The world is full of entertainment. And unfortunately, you can go to some Baptist churches in this area and be entertained. We were in a church where people came out to sing, wireless mics. They came out, they did a beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace, beautiful four-part harmony. I thought, oh, wow, this is great. Until they got the beat into the music. And then the four singers were up there gyrating all around and jazzing it all up. How do you suppose it went over in the church? The congregation stood up and applauded when it was over. I thought I was in some worldly concert. I thought, this is the house of God on a Sunday morning? It was entertainment. And if we hadn't had a guest with us, Kathy and I would have got up and left. We don't go to church to be entertained. No, I want to come to church to worship the Lord and to learn more about Him and try to apply more of Him into my own life. And it'd be hopeful that that's your thoughts too. Samuel was called of the Lord in 1 Samuel 3. Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Isaiah responded to the Lord's voice in Isaiah 6, after his iniquity was taken away and after his sin was purged. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" So we're talking about Saul in that case, and Barnabas, sent forth by the Holy Ghost to do the work. We talk about Samuel being called. We talk about Isaiah being called. Folks, we have instruction of the call of the Lord in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You know those verses. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Didn't say send the pastor. Didn't say put $5 in the plate so you're covered for missions for this week or maybe this month. I don't know. It says go ye. Later on it says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He's commanded us. And what to teach as well. Later on we have an abbreviated, repeated instruction in Mark 16, 15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Once again, it's something of self-evaluation. Who am I sharing the gospel with? Are you listening for a call of God? 1 Kings 19:12, the Bible says, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." Excuse me. "And after the fire, a still small voice." Now, from the voice of experience, I can tell you, after an earthquake, it's deadly silent. Your eyes are about this big. Your ears are like elephant ears. It's like, what's coming next? As the building starts to sway back and forth, is this the big one? Been there, done that. Really quiet. You suppose you could hear the call of the Lord at that point? I think that's his point there. Be in a position where you can hear that call. So is your lifestyle such that you would have occasion to hear the Lord's voice or his call saying what he wants you to do, what his purpose is for you? Would you be willing to go? What would your answer be to the call of the Lord? Stand with me, if you would, please. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time that we could spend with these dear saints. We thank you for their interest to come back to church tonight and hear more of your word preached. I pray, Father, that you would take the word forth and that people would desire to be conformed to the image of your Son, our Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, that they'd desire to not be conformed to the world. Pray, Father, that you help them present themselves sacrificially and holy, Lord, and not expect it to be something other than their reasonable service. Help us to focus on the cross, Lord. That's certainly a good statement there from this morning. Focus on the cross, Lord, and talk with you, meditate, witness to others, Lord, and then carry forth your gospel. In Christ's name, amen.